I love how God works. I love when he speaks to us, and it's exciting. I've been praying a lot about what's happening and where we're going and what we're doing, and talking with Mike about it quite a bit, and God really spoke something to me about adjusting our focus. So I phoned Mike, and I talked to him, and he said that he was on board. He's actually had a series planned out for the exact same thing that I was thinking. So I just love it. I love that confirmation, you know, when you feel like God is speaking to you, and then somebody else confirms without, you know, all the dirty details what's going on. I love it. So Jesus is looking for those that will seek him, right? And when he speaks and confirms it elsewhere, it's exciting. I love it. Anyways, I'm really excited to be the one kicking off this series. And the series we're calling it is Making the Christmas Connection. Why did Jesus come to the world? So the title of my message, for those of you taking notes, is Christmas is about God coming into the world. So for anybody who knows me, you're probably laughing on the inside because I'm sharing a Christmas message. Who'd have thunk it, right? But the truth is, I love Christmas. I love the real reason for Christmas. I'm not a fan of the commercialization of it at all. Most of that stuff I despise. But I do have a list of things that I want for Christmas if you want to see me later. Anyway, seriously, I am learning to like Christmas for my family's sake. My wife would love to decorate in November as well, and my in-laws too. Randy often dresses up as something funny, an elf once in a while, Mrs. Claus once, was Santa, right? Zelda. But Jesus is the reason we celebrate, isn't he? I said, Jesus is worth celebrating. Yes? Okay, good. Who has a Bible today? It could be on your phone or an actual Bible. Tell me you have it. Good. Everybody? Okay. I want you to turn to Matthew 1:23. But before I do, I want to say two things that I want you guys to really pay attention, okay? First, Jesus came into this world as a man. He became flesh just like you and me. Second, as a man, he lived and walked among us. So this is going to be the theme of what I share today, right? There's a connection that we need to make. Okay, so my youth, they're hiding in the back, which they're supposed to be in the front. But when I preach sometimes at youth, I bring out a black preacher because it's exciting for them. So it gets their blood going, and they made me promise to do it today. So I got to do it a little bit, okay? Are you ready? Behold! The virgin shall conceive and bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Behold! So Matthew 1:23 is a direct quote from Isaiah 7:14, where it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign, right? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6. Guys, remember sword drills? Just to see who can do it the fastest, yeah? Okay, for to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This really is the greatest gift of all, isn't it? God sent Jesus to us. Jesus came with a purpose. We know that through him there is salvation and forgiveness of sins. But the purpose that we're going to focus on is the why. The other things, salvation, redemption, those are very important. But today, I want to focus on what I believe they're a bigger part of, okay? And the bigger picture of why Jesus came. Matthew 1:21, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So right there, that's just four scriptures. There's tons more, but I wanted to read those four to lay a foundation. And I'm going to group them together real quick for you guys taking notes. There's four points, okay? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. That's mentioned 1 and 2. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. That's 3. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, or you shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's 4. But why? Why did he do it? My first point, and this is really, really important, Jesus came to reveal the Father. Jesus came to reveal God to us. Everything he did, everything was about the Father. He, Jesus, wanted desperately to show us the Father's deep, deep love for us. In fact, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." His focus was so intense because he wants us to know the Father. He wants us to experience intimate relationship with God. He wants us to know that that relationship is completely tangible. John 5:19. And these are the words of Jesus. I want you to listen carefully. "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son of God can do nothing on his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise." So if you listen carefully to that, you'll see that there's a common thread, right? And read through John, and you'll see this thread all the way through. He says, I came from the Father, and while I'm here, I can only do his will. And then soon I will go back to the Father, right? So Jesus' entire life is about the Father's business. His coming to earth, it's about the Father's business. His death, it's about the Father's business. His purpose, while he was here, is completely and utterly to reveal the Father. And he went so far as to say that he has no will of his own and did nothing except what the Father told him. John 17:25-26. So again, keep in mind that these are the words of Jesus, and this is actually him praying. "O righteous Father, even though the world does not know you, I know you. And these that know you, and these know that you have sent me. I made known to them your name, and I will continue to make it known. That love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them." So think back to the beginning of creation. God created us with an intention of relationship with him. He created man and woman so we could experience the intimacy, right, husband and wife, of a loving relationship. So we could catch a glimpse, really just a glimpse, of how much the Father loves us and how much that he wants a deep, deep, deep intimate relationship with you. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "I will make my dwelling among them, and I will walk among them." Just like he did in the garden with Adam and Eve. "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And it goes on in verse 18 to say, "I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me." This is the relationship that God intended for us. But because of our sin, that relationship is broken. We know that God can have no part of sin. And in our sin, we're separated from the Father. But we have good news, guys. Jesus came so that the relationship could be restored. Amen? Amen. It's not about us, it's about him. Jesus came and restored right relationship with the Father. Ephesians 1:4-5. "Even as he chose us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will," of the Father's will. John 6:38, we already sort of quoted this, but, "For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." Okay? The Father's will is for us to know his Son so that we, you and I, can spend relationship, an eternity in relationship, communing with them. And this is an incredible, incredible loving relationship with the Father and the Son. I love how Spurgeon writes this, and I was going to send it to Tim because it probably lines up more with what he's preaching next, but it's the end that I wanted, so I'm just going to share this whole part. But Charles Spurgeon says in one of his sermons called The Father's Will, the will of God is our salvation. It was from the will of God that the very thought of salvation first arose. Had we been left to our own wills, we should have been willing to wander further and further from God. No man originated the idea of a restoration for our race. God himself willed it. And it is from the purpose of his grace that all our hopes begin. And the will which originated salvation shaped and formed it. It was God's will that ordained salvation by faith. Salvation through an atoning sacrifice. Salvation by the way of new birth. Salvation by the way of perseverance up to perfection. God cast in his own mold the way and modus of salvation, and it has been his will that has shaped it. Like a vessel revolving upon the wheel before him, his fingers have made and formed and fashion of it. Sorry, made the form and fashion of it. According to his own will, he made us that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. It is his will that has brought those of us who are saved into the knowledge of truth, by which will also we are sanctified, and upon which we rely. As the motive force which shall bear us onward throughout the entire of our lives, it will bear us over the regions of death. And this is the part that I love. And it will bear us into the land of the perfect, where we shall see God without sin. We get to see God. Isn't that great? I love that. You know, you want to know why the Father sent his Son? Why the Son willingly laid down his life? To bear us into the land of the perfect, where we shall see the face of God. Jesus came to reveal the Father. Can you imagine if Jesus hadn't come? Just for a second, try and think about that. We would have never seen the Father. His word says that no man can look upon him and live. But because of Jesus, we can. Because Jesus reveals the Father to us. His character, his ways, and his word. It's because of Jesus that God is now available and knowable to us. Amen? I'm gonna shift gears a tiny bit, just a little bit, but it's important. I want to talk about the relationship between God the Father and God the Son for a minute, okay? I want to do that so we can see how this is possible. Everybody knows John 1:1. Probably quote it without reading it, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this is such a loaded verse. But what I want to focus on is the revealing of who God is and who Jesus is, okay? He is God the Father and God the Son. Each one, their own personality, each one independent of the other, and yet at the same time, the same, okay? I know that's crazy, but it's true. In the beginning was the Word is Jesus. He, the Word, Jesus, was with God, and he was God. We understand as much as we can that God the Father, the Son, or sorry, that God the Father and God the Son are one, right? And yes, God the Holy Spirit are one as one as well. And yet, all three are their own personalities. Colossians 1:15. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all of creation. The Greek word here for image is icon, and it means an image of or a mirror-like representation. It reflects its source exactly. That means, as we've established already, that Jesus is the exact image of the Father. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, Jesus is the image of the Father. Isn't that great? John 14 says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Are you starting to see the importance of this? Right? God is not just an infinite, invisible God who inhabits all of eternity. He is also Jesus. He came as a man so that we could know the Father. Yes, they are one. Jesus is the living God. But he also came, became flesh and dwelt among us. He was fully God and he was fully man. Remember, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, for to us a child is born, and they shall call his name Jesus, right? So, fully God, and he was born, fully man, okay? So this is interesting as well, and this is a little bit of a tidbit as well. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man, and this is the key, I want you to really listen to this. In our image and in our likeness. Did you catch that? In our image and our likeness. Have you ever sat back and really thought about that? Why? Why are we created in his image? I think we were made in his image for several reasons. It sets us apart from the rest of creation, for one, which fits us for the dominion of the creatures as God intended. And I also think it adds a bit more of a personal touch. God formed Adam out of the dust and blew life into him, right? So he shared his own breath with Adam. But I think the most important reason is so that we could know our Father, right? We just read in Ephesians that before the foundations of the world, that God chose us. And he chose us to have relationship with us. So because we're in his image, it's easier for him to relate. Right? As a man, he wanted to walk with us. Jesus' whole resolve was to do the will of the Father, to make him known, and he lived his entire life with an unwavering focus. There's a plan, guys. Father and Son working together. And the plan is to reveal the Father, but it's also, this is my second point, Jesus came to show us that God is accessible and knowable. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory is only the Son, as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus came to us in the form of a man so that we could know him, actually and truly know him. He also came to show us through himself the Father's heart, to restore relationship of intimacy that we were designed for. After all, he is our everlasting Father. He wants us to have that relationship of father and son or father and daughter, one of deep intimacy for all of eternity. Think about it. Jesus said in Matthew, pray like this, our Father, right? He didn't say my Father, he said our Father. Because he wants us to really understand the type of relationship that we are to have with him. As children, small children, we naturally draw close to our parents, don't we? To our fathers and our mothers. But anyway, God is the everlasting Father. He is Father forever. And Jesus came to reveal him as such because Father and Son want to walk with us. To know him, intimately know him, the way he knows you, to draw close to him or to pursue him with your whole life. Our whole purpose is to be like Christ. Our purpose, right? We walk like him. We talk like him. We're to be like him. And the relationship that he had with the Father is unparalleled. And it's exactly what God wants for us, right? He wants us to walk in intimacy, to know the Father and through the Son. Jesus lived his whole life in love and adoration towards the Father. Even from a young age, he had to be about his Father's business. He had to make him known, to reveal Father to people who didn't know him. This is how we're to live our lives. in pursuit of Jesus, loving him with our whole being, and revealing the Father to others. We need to make Jesus known so that he can restore right relationship with a lost and broken world, right? Because of Father's great love for us, he sent his Son, making him completely relatable, completely accessible, and absolutely knowable. Philippians 2, 5 to 8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, or think to be held onto for advantage, okay? He emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So Jesus, the pure, spotless Lamb, literally lived a perfectly pleasing life to the Father. He was without a single blemish of sin. Think about that for a minute, okay? Matthew 22 says that we are to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbors as ourselves, right? This is the goal. But can any of us say that we've even come close to that mark? Have we attained this level of intimacy with the Father? No. This level of perfection? No. None of us can. None but Jesus. And Jesus lived exactly that life. He loved the Father with every fiber of his being. He lived perfectly as the Father required. And this was not just outwardly, but inwardly as well. He was perfect, absolutely perfect. Then through his death, not only did he impute righteousness to us so that we can now stand blameless in the eyes of God, but our sin, all of the gross and dirty things that we do, every hateful and disgusting thing that we think, all of it imputed to him. He bore the weight of all of it. And he did it lovingly and willingly. He laid down his life for our sake. He humbled himself for our sake, all so we could have access to the Father. Jesus, the King of Kings, chose to come. He is the only person in all of existence that chose to be born. And he did so for our sake. He didn't come as a high and lofty ruler, lording himself over us, but the transcendent God condescended to come to us. He came in the lowest of circumstances. He was born in a stable, and placed in a food trough as a manger. Born in meekness as one of us, making him approachable, accessible, and available. There were no palace gates to bar access, no parade of guards keeping him away from us. The Lord of Lords and King of Kings came humbly so you and I could boldly approach him. Remember Matthew 1:23? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Christ is in us. So we have complete and unobstructed access to the Father. And in Christ, we can boldly approach him. Are you with me so far? Jesus came to reveal the Father to us, right? And he came to show us that he is accessible and knowable. My third point, Jesus came to show us that God identifies with us. Seems crazy. This next passage, I want to read because I want to give you a little bit of context just to help clarify the second part, okay? The second part is the meat and potatoes of what we're doing, but Hebrews 2, 14 and 15. Since therefore the children share in the flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Then it goes on to say that surely it is not the angels, but Abraham's offspring that he helps. That's us, okay? So five quick points. One, we are human, well, most of us. Two, Jesus became human so that he could identify with us in our weakness and in our temptations, okay? Three, he did it so that we could truly know the Father, that through his death, he died for us to restore right relationship. Four, he came to destroy the one who had power over death, the devil. And five, he came to deliver us from the fear of death and set us free from slavery. Okay, so that's the groundwork. And this part I really love because this is the why. So Hebrews 2, 17 to 18. Therefore, he had to be made like his brothers. He had to be made like us in every respect. So that, everybody say so that. So that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of his people. Isn't that amazing? Guess what? There's more. Verse 18. For because he himself suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Us. Guys, this is absolutely incredible news. What was my third point? God, Jesus, came to show us that we can identify with the Father. This is why. This is why we can identify with him. Our Lord and Savior humbled himself out of love and obedience to the Father and walked among us so he could identify with us. So he could understand our sin. Not to share in it, because he was completely without sin, but as one who suffered through the same things we did. He can identify with us in a way that he wouldn't have been able to had he not. And this is completely for our sake. Listen, if God had remained the invisible God and hadn't become fully man, he wouldn't have been able to die for our sins. Are you hearing me? It's not possible for God to die, is it? But having chose birth, as we discussed, he was fully God and fully man. So Christ did this so that he could die for us. We just read in Hebrews 2:14 that he partook of the same things, right? His death was necessary to deal with the guilt and the punishment of sin. He took this on for you and me. He embraced the suffering, even to the point of death, so that each one of us could have a relationship with the Father. All of this was for our sake. All of it. If he wanted to, he could speak a word and end all of it right now. But he doesn't. He didn't want to, and he chose to fix it. He chose to make himself completely accessible by becoming a man, so that we could identify with him, so that we could know that through him, we can overcome all of our temptations. Jesus provides a way out of every situation. Nothing can stand against him. Nothing. We can put our full confidence in Christ because he will always provide a way out for us. Jesus knows what temptations are. He knows how difficult it can feel to avoid sin under them, how fearful it was to be drilled by them, and now he can have complete sympathy on us because he faced all of the same temptation. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. In verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Our confidence is in Christ. He can identify with you. He can empathize with us. because he endured all of the same trials and temptations. He understands completely all of the things we go through. If he can identify with us, doesn't that make him far more accessible? Right? He knows what we're going through. Obviously, God knows all things. But in this, he can now sympathize with us because he understands what we're facing. Jesus came to show us that God can identify with us. We're not walking this journey alone. We were never meant to. Our Heavenly Father has always, always, before the foundations of the earth, wanted to walk with us. He knew what was going to happen, and he planned all of it. Nothing happened outside of his control. The enemy has won nothing. Absolutely nothing. He's won nothing because Jesus has already defeated him. He has no power over those who are in Christ. And yet, we walk around carrying these heavy burdens that are not ours to carry. Family, please hear me today. Jesus came into the world for our sakes. We are utterly lost without him. And today, he wants us to know, more than anything else, the Father's love for us. Not some far-off, scary Father, but one who knows you, knows every little detail about you, and still wants you to know him, wants you to experience the intimacy you were created for. In Christ, your sins are washed white as snow. He paid the sacrifice so you could know him, and he fully understands everything that you're going through. So run. Run to him, because you don't need to hide from your Father. Amen?
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope you enjoyed it. Feel free to share this message with others, but please do not alter or change it in any way without express written consent from the Rock Christian Community.